Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Angola Jr. here with you guys. Janae Agwimike off today with her responsibilities for the Los Angeles Sparks, which, by the way, for those who might have been keeping track in the last couple of weeks, as I made my way out to Los Angeles, got to go hang out at a couple of Sparks games there. Before the season, I thought, all right, I'd be a good teammate. We're getting ready to start this show, me and Chiney, in August. We're getting ready to do this coast to coast. I know she's going to be going back and playing for the Sparks. And so when the LA Sparks and the WNBA released all their new jerseys this year, the alternates, I thought, you know what? I'll get a custom Chiney Agwimike jersey. I'll surprise her when I finally get to go out there for games. And so sure enough, I order it before the season. Takes a little while to get here because she's in high demand. And I end up out in Los Angeles 2 weeks ago getting to go to a couple of Sparks games that unfortunately Chiney wasn't on the court for as my jersey gets delivered here in Connecticut. So it is here. It is now available to me today. And I'm ready for my next trip to California. Folks at ESPN that are listening here and control such decisions. But in the meantime, Jason Fitz is going to be stopping by and hanging out with us for the next few hours as well. He's kind enough to sit in with us today. You can hear him co-hosting Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio from 7 to 9 after us. Gonna get Jason over here. Always fun to talk to him. Oh my God, he's running into the studio right now. Just no sense of decorum here. We got plenty to get to today here. I saw some things. DeAndre Ayton had, to me, one of the more heartwarming statements in a postgame that we've seen, talking about a teammate. It's a reminder of the things that you can't fake in this business. We've got a lot of things to get to. The College World Series has been giving insane headlines over the last weekend here with what went on with NC State. But Jason Fitz joining us in studio now
here. Do you speak as glowingly of me as DeAndre did of CP3? Like, it feels like a little respect your elders moment, like, you know, maybe push each other, make you better. Like, I feel like all of these things apply.
Well, see, this is the problem is, as DeAndre Ayton speaks glowingly, again, the very young, 22-year-old DeAndre Ayton, the former number one pick who's finally looking like that this year, speaks glowingly of Chris Paul, of what he's done for him as a teammate, how it's really elevated the Suns team to where they are now. The difference in all of this fits, and this might actually be a compliment to you, is Chris Paul looks like an elder. Right? Like, you look at Chris Paul,
you know what?
And you look at Jason, I look at you, and I have to remind myself that you're like a 45-year-old man and gross.
I'm 44, and you know what? I'm old enough to be your father, so have a little respect, okay? We don't want to do the math on when I was doing the hibbity-dibbity to make sure.
I was going to say, I started to crunch the numbers right there, and it was coming out pretty weird. But I will say, you've seen the way I treat my actual father when I do radio with him there. So I don't know
that
if you're going to get much more respect than that. So Chiney Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz hanging out with us today. But Jason, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And as we dive into what's gone on, we'll get to on-court in the NBA, Chris Middleton and Giannis, and the Batman-Robin conversation that persists there. We'll talk about that and get Quentin Richardson's take on it, former NBA stud who's going to join us here in a little bit. But Jason, you normally co-host with Sarah Spain, who I think at this company, at this network, and really in sports media in general, is probably one of the best people when it comes to dealing with some of the issues of race, gender, and how these factor into the hiring processes and just the interaction overall with sports. And as we go and look at the NBA's current summer hirings that are going on right now, the news around the Dallas Mavericks, the news around the Portland Trail Blazers, with the likes of Jason Kidd and Chauncey Billups now potentially ending up as the head coaches of those two organizations respectively, it's brought on another round of conversation about what are we factoring in these hiring processes here, as we have had talk all offseason of Becky Hammon and Therese Witherspoon and these names of women that might finally get their opportunity to try out and be head coaches in the NBA. You've got two men potentially being hired here. I haven't seen if the announcements have gone through. I know there's been all the reporting around them, but for Jason Kidd, who, again, we know in 2001 was arrested on suspicion of hitting his wife, pled guilty to spousal abuse, had the DWI in 2012, and then Chauncey Billups, who settled a civil case in 1997 where it was alleged that him and a former teammate, it was alleged by a woman that him and a former teammate had raped her. Charges were never filed there, and it was a settlement outside of a civil case in that spot. But Jason, as you try and sit and digest all this, I know the question has kind of been posed is this a bad look for the NBA? And I feel like that might even sell some of this short.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, there are things more important than sports, right? And all of the, everything you're addressing there, I got to say this loudly, matters far more than anything. And when it is part of somebody's background, I think it's only fair to say why, what's been answered, what's been talked about, what's been investigated, what was looked into in the conversation, why this decision. And look, I've always been very honest, and we've had open conversations on radio in the past. You know, my brother served 7 years for possession with the intent to distribute, made the most of his second chance in life. So obviously I've seen firsthand the impact second chances can have. That doesn't take away accountability and a want and need, I think, for explanation. And one of the things that really is stunning to me, as you mentioned, you know, Billups is an example of somebody that was not criminally charged, and we don't know the full details of what happened in the settlement. But that doesn't mean that it isn't fair and right to ask hard questions about these things, because while everybody deserves a second chance in life, I've long since said I don't believe everybody deserves a second chance at dream opportunities. You can have a second chance at coming out in life and making a living for yourself. Certainly, of course, that's what, you know, America's built on it largely. But that doesn't mean that you have to have the second chance opportunity to be at this level in this platform in the game. And if they're going to make decisions about these things, then I think what everybody's looking for that we never get from the world of sports is some level of transparency. What went into the conversations? What do they know? Because the one thing I don't want through all of this is for either organization to hide behind the "we didn't know" in 6 months or a year when we find out. Because inevitably, this is when the sleuths will continue to dig until we get that information. And at some point, you've got to think five steps ahead. And what lacks here for me is trying to figure this out.
Yeah, I think, Jason, in all of this is, you're right, we lack the transparency of, because I've heard people who have been defending both of these coaches and players say that this wasn't something that we brought up in the past, or they've changed so often in this, the barometer for who we forgive, when and how tends to be much more about performance than about anything we've seen about their efforts to change through all of this. But I think the tougher thing even here to digest for a lot of people, because part of this is, and I heard Dominique Foxworth mention this on First Take earlier today, is you did have that close proximity of this idea that Becky Hammon as a candidate was finally gaining the kind of momentum that we thought might lead to an actual hire, and mentioned in the same breath in some of these jobs. And so when you've got that on one side, and then you've got these coaches that have been assistant coaches in this league, to your point, they've been earning a living in this league, but there's a difference of being the face of the franchise.
And to that end, Mike, quickly, I'll just say that we've got to just openly admit, like, I don't have the equity to sit here and think about every assistant coach in every league.
No.
Part of the reason that you start to, for anyone that says, well, they've been in the league, my God, of course they've been in the league. But at the end of the day, when you take this level of position, it comes with more scrutiny. That's why, yes, you are a head coach and not an assistant coach.
You are the face of this particular franchise here. And to me, the underlying point that I think creates the discomfort for so many people who want to take the second chance position is this, is most hires, when you make them, regardless of sport, whether it's picking a quarterback for your team in the NFL, whether it's picking a head coach here in the NBA, the people that make these decisions, so often we talk about the parameters for a job, what the resume looks like. More often than not, it's within a pretty narrow window. You see, out of the box, we call them out of the box hires because they're outside of something they can defend to their superior and say, well, look, I picked a quarterback who was 6'5 and had all these intangible abilities, but if I go outside and draft a quarterback who's 6 foot and it doesn't work out, I've got more to answer to. The underlying notes to this conversation for me to that end say that are organizations looking at these kind of hires and saying, it's more defensible for me if I hire a former pro who's been a coach around this and in this league and has this on their resume, I'll have an easier time defending this if things go wrong, these crimes against women, these allegations against women, versus hiring a woman, something that has not happened at that position. I'll have an easier time defending the former and a latter. And that's a league-wide, that's a society-wide thing that we have to grapple with if that's the underlying text of this conversation.
I'm shook by what you just said, because if that's where we are, like, I've got to believe the way an interview goes down. Like, a coaching interview is a very long process. So much is talked about. In the process of the interview, tough questions had to be asked, right? And they had to get answers they were comfortable with. I'm waiting to hear what those answers were to some level, to know what they asked in the first place. But if they're willing to take those answers above the risk of hiring an incredibly qualified woman at that point, then shame on everybody involved in the process.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And again, I don't want to boil this down to any one thing because it's much bigger than any one thing. But coming up next, we'll hear from Dominique Foxworth along with what Kendrick Perkins had to say on First Take earlier today and kind of unpack all of this before we get to some on-court NBA conversation with Q Rich coming up in a little bit here. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr., Mike Golick Jr., Jason Fitz filling in today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
News in from our own ESPN NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski. Sixers All-Star Ben Simmons won't participate in the Olympics with the Australian team. Clutch Sports CEO Rich Paul tells ESPN, Simmons plans to concentrate his summer on individual development and Team Australia is understanding of the decision, Paul says. Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Jason Fitz.
It was never a dunk that he was going to do the Olympics in the first place. Come on, we got all the puns that were working, and you just didn't even work any of them in.
Jason, I watched you over across from me, just welling up. Like, I could see your face getting red with the idea. You want to say that Ben Simmons obviously passed on the Olympics, right?
I mean,
right?
God, just give it, inject it into my veins. Thanks for the assist on that one, Mike.
Nice.
Wow.
My God, I'm the Ben Simmons of this radio show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's okay. He's it's fine. I'm going to spend the rest of the show trying to figure out any way I can work in Ben Simmons puns about me missing the Olympics. So that's what I'll be doing for the afternoon.
Like I said, you work on that. Quentin Richardson, former NBA pro, going to join us in a little bit here. Co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast, going to join us, and we'll see what the actual on-court stipulations of this are, if this is something that makes sense. And is this something that's surprising, like that we're just getting this level of, you know, what is supposed to, I guess, sound like commitment now from Ben Simmons? So we'll get to lots more on that with Q Rich coming up in about 10 minutes here. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. But so much of the conversation today around the NBA, in addition to what we've seen in the playoffs, is about the hiring practices that are going on right now. Jason Kidd and Chauncey Billups both in line to become head coaches in Portland, in Dallas for the Mavericks, and instances, allegations from their past resurfacing as these jobs come up, as this comes up in a summer where we thought we were going to have a woman potentially hired for the first time, whether that was Tyrese Witherspoon, whether that was Becky Hammon. All this juxtaposition, what is the look for the NBA now? And first take, they were talking about this earlier today. Dominique Foxworth and Kendrick Perkins were on there. Two very different sides of this. So I want to play what Kendrick Perkins said for you guys first, our ESPN NBA analyst, on if this was a bad look for the NBA.
You know, it's a bad look for people in the, around the NBA to be writing these articles at this time. That's what's a bad look. Because guess what? When Jason Kidd and Chauncey Billups, when they were the product and they were put on the shelves and they were selling out and they were making money and they were around here delivering championships and making all-star games and selling out jerseys and signing autographs, everything was all fine and dandy when you were the product. Now, all of a sudden, when two African-Americans have learned from their mistakes, and when I'm talking about Jason Kidd, he learned from his mistakes. He had two head coaching hires since then. He was an assistant coach with the Los Angeles Lakers, won the championship. Nothing was said. This man has changed his life. Rick Carlisle endorsed him. Dirk Nowitzki endorsed him. Not a word was said.
And that can all be true. As much as I love Kendrick Perkins, where I think he's wrong on this is, so is it the glorification previously that means that we can't have tough conversations now? Because maybe the thing we should be doing instead is looking at the glorification of these athletes in the past and saying, was that the right approach? Rather than looking at now, asking serious questions about their past, I don't see where that's the problem. Like, I mean, the problem to me is that we sort of pick and choose when we're going to gloss over these backgrounds. And as much as we want to say guys are moving on, when you get opportunity, no matter what you do in life, when you get massive opportunity and you have these marks on your past, you will be forced again and again to answer for your actions in the past. That's part of life.
And I think what we're dealing with now is there was a logjam of time, or is a logjam now, because we spent so much of that time not necessarily asking those questions, right? Like, it was just, are you performing well enough at your sport or at your job right now for us to ignore that? To an extent, we still operate in that way in a lot of instances when it comes to athletes and their off the field, off the court conduct in these spots. But now we finally arrived at a time where people are starting to make sure we take these issues as seriously as we need to. And so when these things come up now, they're conversations that, to Kendrick Perkins' point, we're not, I mean, I don't think either of us here are anti-second chance, but when he says they've learned from this, how? Like, we need to see, and often we don't hold athletes, coaches, anyone accountable for, hey, show us and demonstrate how you've actually gone about learning from these things.
And shouldn't we be, as a society, growing to ask more tough questions? Like, we shouldn't be stepping back. I look back at just my own personal life over the course of the last 18 months. I've learned to ask a lot of tough questions, and it's made me rethink things in my life. It's made me rethink things even with my family and the way we talk about things. Like, there's so much opportunity to continue to grow. If we're growing to the point that we're asking tougher questions now about people's backgrounds, I'm not going to step back and say that's a negative thing. That's a positive thing to look at it and say, hey, just because we've allowed this in the past doesn't mean we have to allow it now.
No, we don't. And this is the other thing for, you know, the argument of anyone. And listen, I don't want to take Perk's point and make it some larger, you know, group of people that are all saying this, because I don't know if that group of people exists. But it is also, at the same time, us saying, is this a bad look for the NBA? And the answer certainly being yes, next to this idea that we thought one of the many deserving female candidates that was up for jobs this summer could have gotten one and didn't, next to this is something that is a bad look. I mean, what is a bad look really going to cost these guys? Because we unfortunately know how this is going to end is these guys are going to be allowed to have their jobs. They're going to go out there, and this is going to be something that we talk about for a bit. And then as the games get going, we see this happen time and time again. And so that's why having the conversation when it comes up to me is something that, like you said, there should be no harm in this if you've truly grown, if you've truly learned, if this is something that you actually have tried to work to get better from.
I think most of us have skeletons in the closet. Most of us have demons in our past. The question is, how comfortable are you addressing those? And for me personally, I can only speak for me. I've always been very comfortable being honest about the person I've been, honest about the person I'm trying to become. I think that's the only way you can really own your past. I am tired, though, of constantly having an NBA conversation about coaching and progressiveness when it comes to women candidates that are getting a look, when at some point we're going to have to realize that it feels like just like the Rooney Rule. All they're doing is getting a look, and it makes for a great little publicity moment where we say, this could really happen. Until it happens, at some point, when are we going to stop just going, doing cartwheels of praise for the NBA for giving interviews when those interviews don't result in jobs?
It's certainly a lot of questions that still have to be asked on that front. You are absolutely right. We'll get into plenty more on this as the day goes along here. We will also get into some stuff going on the court in the NBA right now as the playoffs continue to roll on here. We'll talk to Quentin Richardson coming up next about what we've seen from Giannis and from Chris Middleton in that Bucks series as a conversation rages around the role of the star on that team. We will get to that after this word from Rumble On. Now, do you have a motorcycle? Do you have an ATV or even a truck that's sitting in your garage that you've been waiting to sell? With RumbleOn.com, you can easily turn your unused vehicle into cash in minutes. RumbleOn.com will give you cash offer for your vehicle and pick it up for free anytime, anywhere. They can even finance your next Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, and even more if you are just looking to upgrade. See what RumbleOn.com can do for you by visiting RumbleOn.com. Fast bikes, faster cash. Back after this. Chin Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz. You guys normally catch him co-hosting Spain and Fitz, 7 and 9 Eastern, right after us here on ESPN Radio. I know Jason always calls us the opening act. I always call them our neighbors to the north here, which I guess makes you guys Canada.
I love Canada, by the way. Beautiful, beautiful area. The people are incredibly friendly.
Yes!
I'm a big fan of Canada. Like, I like it a lot.
It's Canada.
I'm a Canadian fan. I don't know how to even say that. I'm such a...
Canada.
I'm a Canada. But poutine is trash.
Oh, no. What is wrong with
poutine
you?
Poutine just isn't good. Like, fries don't need gravy. Curds too are a little weird.
I'm sorry, I gotta step in here, Mike, for obvious reasons.
Saying, Ryan Matlack, our producer here, representative for Team Canada right now. Matlack, I have a feeling that I know where this is going.
I mean, my goodness, no one ever likes gravy cheese altogether with mashed potatoes.
No,
like, no, that's awful. Let's get that out of here. You're gonna stand behind
it's
that
curds.
Take?
It's curds. It's not even melty cheese. It's curds.
Wow, and someone who claims to like Milwaukee.
Oh my God! Huh. This is happening. By the way, Canada though is beautiful. All right, go ahead.
My God, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline here.
Dude, trash.
Quentin Richardson, kind enough to join us right now, TNT NBA analyst and co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, Q, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good, fellas. Thanks for having me.
No, we appreciate you coming on here, Q. And I saw your tweet the other day as we've rolled along. The Bucks now have a 2-1 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals Series. And this conversation around the end-of-game basketball with Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo, you said y'all got to chill with this Middleton and Giannis talk. So what's bothered you the most about the way that we speak about these two star players for Milwaukee?
First, I feel like the whole concept of the, you know, who's what or whatever, those two guys are teammates who have no issues with each other for all intents and purposes. I mean, Giannis spoke, you know, unbelievably about Middleton, about how he's been there his whole career and all those different things. And you could hear and see the admiration that Giannis has for Middleton. So, I mean, I feel like the topic of trying to ask who's Batman or Robin and all those different things, it indirectly put, you know, a pressure or a light on their relationship, on their teammateship that shouldn't be there. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, the thing, Giannis is a two-time MVP. That's my first problem with it. This is somebody you're talking about is one of the top five or six players on the planet. And this is the reason that I don't like the conversation about it, because it automatically kind of has you have to say something bad or something about Chris Middleton to obviously talk about Giannis. And I'm not somebody that subscribes to that, because I feel that the way they play is great. I mean, if you look over the history of the league, I mean, Shaq, you know, guys need each other. Shaq needed Kobe, Kobe needed Shaq. At the end of the games, we all know that Shaq wasn't the greatest free throw shooter. So at the end of the games, Kobe was basically, you know, the guy that shot jump shots and made different plays. I mean, even as recent as LeBron James in Cleveland, you know, Kyrie took that big shot in Golden State to hit that shot. And everybody knew that, you know, LeBron was the best player. It wasn't really a challenge of that. So, I mean, I don't understand why we have to do that with Giannis.
Is there some level, Q, where, like, we're so used to the biggest superstars and the MVPs being such big, almost aggressive personalities, and Giannis is just sort of chill and likable? I mean, does that sort of factor in your mind to why people seem to view him the way they view him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, and then, you know, to talk about how everybody wanted him to step up and say, I'm going to guard him. I'm one of those people that wanted to see him guard KD and things like that, but I think in examining all that, you understand it. He's from overseas. He maybe didn't grow up in the same type of environment that most of us did and that most of us were exposed to and used to, saying that, hey, that's our responsibility. Because, I mean, the last thing I think about Giannis is that he's afraid or scared of anything. I think he's somebody that just literally, you know, does what's asked of him by his coaches. Not to say that, you know, that he's afraid of KD or anybody else or afraid of any challenges. I think he just was not raised in that culture where it was like, this is what he's supposed to do. I don't think he was aware of that.
Chenan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Quentin Richardson, NBA vet, co-host of the Knuckleheads podcast, wherever you get your podcast. Q, looking on the other side, the Western Conference series, the Suns now take a 3-1 lead in that series. And we got Chris Paul back in this series now. We heard DeAndre Ayton, his teammates, talk so glowingly of him. He's a guy whose place in NBA history already seems set. But, Q, does this season and what Chauncey's been able to do for this franchise elevate him even further?
Yeah, I mean, I look at last year as well as this season. I mean, coming off, you know, everything with Houston, last year what he did in OKC was nothing short of unbelievable. I mean, then he, you know, comes back-to-back this year. And, you know, he takes the team to the Western Conference Finals that clearly wasn't doing that prior to him getting there. So, I mean, I've always been a big CP3 fan and what he's done and what he's being able to do now. I'm just extremely happy for him, and I hope he gets a chance to, you know, make it to the championship and do all of those things that he's wanted to do throughout his career, because he's definitely one of the, you know, NBA's best point guards in the history of the game. And, I mean, you know how everybody stamps that approval with a championship or with those appearances. So, I mean, I hope he gets to do all of those things.
Game 5 tonight, by the way, on 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. Stick there for a second with McHugh, because Monty Williams has gotten a ton of credit for the development of the Suns team also, but you guys were just mentioning it for CP3. So who do you give more of a credit when it comes to developing a young team on the floor like this, the veteran leadership or the coach that's on the sidelines?
I think it's a combination in this situation. I mean, I think, because, I mean, you got to give Monty credit for the, you know, for every the foundation he built last year and the way that they went into the bubble and played really well. I mean, they were trending in a great direction, finishing off last season in the bubble with the 8-0 performance and the way they look And they were trending in the right direction. But, I mean, I think CP3 absolutely put them gave them the ability to be where they are now. I don't think they would be at this point without CP joining the team.
Q, if we're going to talk about development, then I think finishing here is pretty appropriate. Adrian Wojnarowski reported earlier Ben Simmons won't participate in the Olympics with the Australian team, said his plan is to concentrate on individual development this summer, said Team Australia was understanding. But in your mind, Q, is this the right move for Ben Simmons right now?
I think so. I think he's taking himself seriously. I mean, I don't know how true any of the reports are about him, you know, not working on things or whatever like that. But, I mean, I like the approach in saying that I'm going to stay here and focus on my individual game and my individual development. Now, you know, that's easier said than done. So he has to go out there and actually do it. Not to say he has to show or prove anything to the public, but just when we see him next playing, we should see some improvements.
Q, you just mentioned the reports about, maybe not taking the work as seriously. How much blame does the organization get if that has been the case?
I think it's a everybody involved type accountability situation because don't get it twisted. The first person whose responsibility is Ben Simmons. It's his job to get himself ready to play and to be able to perform and to go out there and do what he needs to do. But, you know, I think everybody there, I think that's why I love the Miami Heat scenario and their program because all hands on deck. These type of things aren't even spoken about in the Miami Heat organization about work or what they're doing or not. If you're there, you're going to be working. If you're there and if you're not working, you're not going to be there. So I think it's a total, total team organization, coaches, trainers, everybody over there is kind of held accountable for his improvement.
It's a great point. If you think of a Pat Riley-led organization, you don't have to worry about someone not working and still being allowed to stick around in that spot. Guys, make sure you check out the Knuckleheads podcast wherever you get them. NBA veteran Quentin Richardson, nice enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Cute, we appreciate it, man. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon, all right?
You're the best, brother.
Anytime, fellas. Thank you.
Awesome stuff from Quentin Richardson here. Coming up next, though, we go with Q all the time. We love to get the insight from someone who's been in the locker room, who's been around the league as long as he had 13 years. But coming up next, we had an all-time great step to the mic today with something that we're not sure you can really take back. We'll get to that conversation next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All right, I got a lot we want to get to here. Anytime a Hall of Famer steps to the mic, we're almost always listening, but when he takes aim at what's largely viewed as one of the best coaches in basketball history, it certainly takes on a different tone and tenor. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven, but as usual, I am derailed by the audacity of something that Jason Fitz has said here, as now he's taken aim at cheese curds and poutine, two of the more lovable food items that I think...
No aim taking. I mean, cheese curds just... It's not the best way to eat cheese.
I mean, Jason, your words were that poutine is trash.
Yeah, poutine's trash. Yeah, I stand by that.
And you lumped cheese curds in with that. And so...
It's a failed ingredient in poutine. That's all.
Hell no.
Son...
But, Jason, I'm used to you being wrong about food takes. Like, you are notoriously bad at this. What I want to know is, do you feel threatened by Dan Orlovsky? Because he really seems to have come into your lane of terrible food takes that the internet loves to respond to and really taken a big portion of the stage. So, do you resent Dan for having even worse food takes than you at times?
Look, I thought Dan's food takes he tweeted the other day were pretty spot on. I didn't have any issue with them. I will gladly welcome Dan into the club of fine food takes whenever he would like. And also, fun fact, I was out shopping for toys around the Connecticut area on Saturday, and
anyone that's listening, he actually means like children's toys.
Yeah, like vintage toys and like Funko Pops and the things that adults spend money on. And lo and behold, I walk in and sitting on one of these desks for sale, Dan Orlovsky bobblehead. Bobble, couldn't even say it.
Did you buy it?
No, I sent a picture to Dan. I'm too cheap. I'm not going to spend. I think it was like $8.
I love Dan to death, but how much is the Danner off?
It was like $8, right, I think. Yeah. But it was from his Connecticut playing days, even. So like it had to
be a UConn bobblehead. Might actually be worth a fair amount of money then. I can say Dan was pretty well known around these parts. That was the heyday of UConn football.
I sent it to Dan thinking he would respond with, "Hey, go ahead and get that for me, and I'll hit you back." Like then, like if it's free, I might get it. But I'm not, you know.
Wanted Dan to Venmo you money so you could buy his bobblehead is essentially all roads lead
to. Do you think
to.
I could get anything if I sold that? Like, maybe get a little...
I don't know. Let's put it this way, Jason. I spend a lot of time buying sneakers online. The resale industry has become a scourge. People flipping these and turning them around for profit. I don't know if you're going to have as much luck if you want to go into flipping Dan Orlovsky memorabilia for income.
It's a very targeted group of poutine haters that are all going to buy it.
Dear God, Chenangle Jr.
Call back right there. Brought it all together.
Tie it all in a neat little bow here. All right. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz here. But this is what I wanted to get to because Scottie Pippen has been in the news a lot lately. He was seen going back and forth on Twitter with Kevin Durant not too long ago about some comparisons he made between him and LeBron James. And now Scottie Pippen, retired NBA legend, star of the Chicago Bulls teams opposite Michael Jordan, has been going around and doing a lot of interviews, I think promoting a bourbon that he is now marketing, if I'm not mistaken. And he made a lot of waves today. He went on the Dan Patrick show earlier and talked about, amongst other things, his former Hall of Fame head coach Phil Jackson and had some pretty pointed words for his coach. Listen to the conversation between Scottie Pippen and Dan Patrick earlier today.
But have you talked to Phil about this? Because by saying a racial move, then you're calling Phil a racist.
I don't got a problem with that.
Do you think Phil was or is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you remember Phil Jackson left the Lakers, wrote a book on Kobe Bryant, and then came back and coached him? I mean, who would do that? You name someone in professional sports that would do that, you know? I think he tried to expose Kobe in a way that he shouldn't have. You're the head coach, and you're the guy that sits in the locker room and tells the players, this is a circle, and everything stays within the circle because that's what team is about. But you as the head coach open it up, and now you go out and you try to belittle, at that time, probably one of the greatest players in the game.
And Jason, Scottie, the origin of this line of questioning was him – having a lot of words questioning Phil Jackson's decision to draw up an inbounds play for Tony Kukoc at the end of a game in the season where it was Scottie's team, where Michael had retired for that year to go and play baseball, all these things that he pointed back and ultimately landed on him basically condoning this idea that he thought Phil Jackson did this because he was black. And I just found myself kind of feeling bad for Scottie Pippen, right? Like, these words coming out now, a lot of people will point to the bourbon, him trying to move product and just acquire attention by any means necessary, but this is also someone who lost one of his children but a couple of months ago in April, and so I don't know what's going on, but Scottie Pippen doesn't seem to be doing well right now, and this just... I don't know where this comes from, and it sounds strange.
And we don't know, you know, is this just he no longer has a filter and feels like he wants to get some things off his chest? Like, it's impossible to know. The interesting thing for me will be the next 48 hours. And because realistically, when something like this comes out about somebody like Phil Jackson, there's one of two reactions I would expect from people that know Phil well, from people that played for Phil. I'm expecting either a ton of support or some sort of a backing to what Scottie has said. And that will be really interesting to me because right now it's one very out of left field accusation. Like, it feels strange to me. What we get over the course of the next day or so, I think, will tell us what kind of legs any of this has.
Yeah, so again, that was Scottie Pippen earlier today on the Dan Patrick show, and I think we can stick with that because you're right. Where did this come from and where does this go, I think, are both very closely tied together here. And so as we've got stars now more comfortable than ever, we've seen going to battle with the media, current players doing this, current players having these very public outbreaks. Scottie Pippen came from an era where maybe we associate that with that time period a lot less, but why dip a toe into these waters now? Why cannonball into these waters right here, right now? We'll get to that next here. Chenan Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Jason Fitz on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.